And so we'll get those passed out now. And then you'll need a pen. If you don't have one, we have some extra pens in the back, because I gave you the handouts, and I designed it in such a way for you to actually fill in the blanks based upon the PowerPoint. But now, if anyone would like a PowerPoint presentation, all you have to do is email me. My email address is on the bottom of your handout, and you can email me, and I will email you a full copy of the PowerPoint presentation. But this was designed purposely for you to be able to interactively write and take notes, okay? Because that's another layered level of learning. Sometimes when we have everything handed to us, then we just spend time reading, and that's pretty much what we're doing, okay? So let's just jump right in, and then also throughout, at some point, we're going to hear from some of my life coachy clients. So they said they wanted to come and share of what it's been like being a life coach client, and some of the things that they have been able to learn, and ways that they've been able to grow. So I feel honored that they desire to do that. So we'll get a chance to hear a little bit from them, because I know sometimes people wonder, well, what is a life coach, and what is that all about, and do I need a life coach, and so hopefully you'll get your appetite will be wet just a little bit, and then if you want to find out a little further about it, you can schedule a free consultation with me, and we could talk a little bit more about it, okay? All righty, so everyone has their handout. Okay, let's get started here. Intellect is in the head, but intelligence is in the heart, because eternity is in the heart. And a lot of things that we're going to talk about, when we're talking about a life plan, what we're talking about the heart and not the head. So what I want you to do for me very quickly, I want you to write down 5 things that you really want. Just, you only have 30 seconds. 5 things, real quickly. Those things that you write down are the things that's going to come forth, hopefully, from your heart. I'll tell you when the time is up. 5 things that you really want. You have 5 seconds. Left. Okay, time's up. Now, who all was able to complete that? We have some people who was able to complete it. Anyone care to share some of the things? Yeah, go ahead, go right ahead. Okay, thank you for sharing. Yes. Okay, all righty. Back, who had the hand back there? Okay.
I would like a job, family, home, car, and school.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Yes. Yep. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. And it's great to have you here with us, Pastor. Amen. Okay. And I recognize all of the ministers and clergy that's in the house as well. Okay. So let me ask you, did anybody have any difficulty coming up with the 5 things in 30 seconds? Yes. Okay. Okay. So, because sometimes we do, because when you say, what do I want? Sometimes it's hard to determine what you really want. Now, for some of us, we've been talking and praying about it for so long until it's right there, at the forefront of our brains. But for others, it takes just a little bit more time. And I just believe this whole process that we're going to talk about today is going to help help you no matter where you are, whether it's something that's just a burning desire that's already at the surface, or whether it's something that you're trying to figure out, well, I know it's something, but I'm not quite sure what. So let's talk about, first of all, there's obstacles, the five top obstacles that keep us from pursuing a life plan and from developing a life plan and from fulfilling a life plan. And the first one is fear. The fear, and the fear is usually of the unknown. I'm afraid to even try because I may fail. I'm afraid because I've tried before and it didn't work. So whatever the fear may be, fear will sometimes immobilize us and keep us from being able to even dare to dream. The next thing is focus, where we want so many things until we won't take time to focus on the one thing. And a lot of times what I do in the life coaching sessions is we spend time talking about how to get focused and how to just prioritize and how to focus on one thing at a time. Because so many times we're doing so many things until one thing that you were really meant to do never gets done. Okay? Now, I know we have to multitask and what have you, but I'm talking about, when we're talking about a life plan, we're talking about those things that are pertaining to your dream, the promise for your life, your destiny, your purpose for being here. Forgetfulness. Sometimes we develop life plans, we develop goals, and we forget all about them. In the course of a day, in the course of time, in the course of just living, sometimes it's good to pull out those old last year resolutions or prayer requests and what have you, because somewhere along the way, maybe around sometimes the fifth month of the year, they're totally forgotten. And we have to, by the time we look at them again, we have to blow the dust off and, oh yeah, I did want that. Yes. So forgetfulness. Fatigue. Sometimes we're just too tired. Oh, I can't even think. I'm so busy working jobs or looking for jobs or stressing about this and stressing about that. And then, of course, the last thing is faithfulness or lack thereof. Faithfulness to your purpose. Faithfulness to your dream. And when you lack that faithfulness, then guess what? You procrastinate. And it's always, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll take care of it next week. I'll do it next year, okay? Can anybody out there, because I want you all to, you know, make sure that this is connecting. Can anybody relate to any of these fears? Did anybody find one or more that may be keeping you or have kept you in the past from actually pursuing and writing a life plan and actually pursuing it? You know, it's so many things that knock us off focus. And I think that if we can just learn that one thing, we'll be able to move forward in life. Now, one thing about developing, when I'm talking about developing a life plan, is based upon God's plan for your life. So that kind of helps you to pull it together, because, you know, we can have many plans and many desires, but one of the things that I want to see happen in my life and in the lives of those that I'm called to help in whatever way is I want all of us to tap into the very reason or purpose why we're here. And that comes down to the one that created us all, the great designer and manufacturer and creator, to find out, okay, I may want this, but what does God want for me? And sometimes, you know, we're off. We're definitely off. And sometimes we're more on than we think we are. You know, people always, I just get a kick out of this, because people always say, well, I don't really want to find out God's will, because what if he wants to send me to Africa as a missionary, or he wants to send me over to the, you know, the little children over in China, and I don't want to do that. So then that you don't want to get with God or find out from the Lord what he desires, because you feel as though his desire is going to be totally different than yours. Well, the thing about it is that couldn't be farther from the truth, because you were designed. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, and you were designed with God's DNA flowing through your spirit. And the desires that you have are the desires that he allowed you to have and that placed in your life. So, in other words, he may not do it exactly like you want him to do it. And that's where our problem often lies. But if we just hold on and trust him, we will see that it will line up with who we are and the thing that we desired from the very beginning. Is anybody with me today? Can anybody attest to that? In other words, it may not look like you want it to look, but he's not going to do anything that's totally out of realm and possibility or desires of your heart. He put them there. He desires to fulfill them. Can I get amen to that? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about how to tap into that. So when we're talking about life plan, what is a plan? A plan, just simply, is a method for achieving an end. A method, a strategy, and it's also an often customary method of doing something. A detailed formulation of a program or action. It's a goal. It's an aim. It's an orderly arrangement of parts of an overall design or objective. So, in other words, just bottom line about a plan, it helps to bring order. So we're talking about a life plan. Some of the scriptures that, one of the first scriptures that I had up there was that how Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So life, abundant life. The next scripture was talking about how God has plans for us, plans for hope in the future, plans to prosper us. Okay? So when we're talking about that, If that is part of God's design or plan for our life, then there must be some type of path, must be some type of order. It must be a way in which we can get to those things that God desires for us to have and that we desire. There must be. And so many times we don't find it because we're everywhere. Oh, this looks good. This sounds good. That sounds good. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. So we don't come up with an orderly way. So it's all about a plan. It's all about just look. Okay, let's get our life in order. Let's get this in order. Let's get things in order. And it takes time. And it's a process. Okay, so when we're talking about developing a life plan, one of the first things, and this is what I stress, I can't stress enough, is that it is what? Action oriented. A life plan is going to cause you to do something. It's not just about thinking or pontificating, okay? It's going to cause you to actually take some steps. Another thing about developing a life plan that we want to look at is that we need to keep it positive. And the reason why I say that is because so many times our life plan is negative in that we're thinking, what? Well, I just don't want to fail. I just don't want to mess up. Well, I just don't want to go through what I went through before. And so that's your life plan. Well, that's not positive. Positive means what I want to do, what I'm going to do. Okay? So it's not based upon your past mistakes, although you can learn from them. But the actual plan is based upon what you want to see moving forward positively. So the life plan, developing life plan, is going to represent your life. So in other words, it's not about somebody else's life. Oh, I want to be like that person. This is my plan, just to be that person, to be Oprah Winfrey, to be just like Oprah. I'm just like Oprah Winfrey. That's my plan. Well, she had her life, and she has her life. So that was a different plan. So, and it has to be focused, as we said, faithful or filled with faith, because a life plan is going to take faith in order for it to be fulfilled or realized. Another thing about a life plan, your life is intertwined with others. So no man is an island, And it's not just about, oh, I got my life plan, but it's just me and God. This is what I want. No, if it's a life plan, there's going to be others. It's a part of your life. So it's going to include others, and it's going to be based upon your gifts and talents, not someone else's, and not what you wish you possessed. Oh, okay. And then another thing about it, it is present-oriented, although it's leading you into your future. But it starts now. Look at somebody and say, it starts now. It starts now. So actually, your life plan has begun because you are here right now in this life plan seminar. So give yourselves a hand. It's now. That person, the people in this room, the people in your life right now are the most important people in your life. It is about now, okay? Now, I know you say, but oh, no, because when I get this degree and when I get this marriage and when I get this, you know, home and when I get this job, that's when my life is going to start. So what are you doing now? You're breathing now. Your life is now. So even the place where you don't have it yet is a part of the plan of you getting it. And it needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be honored. It needs to be recognized. And it needs to be put in the plan as a part of the plan. Okay, somebody got that, right? Because, I mean, I'm going to stay there just another moment because so many times we're waiting. We're waiting. When I graduate, when this happens, after this happens, and we could spend our whole life putting our life on hold until something else happens in our lives. We could put our whole life, and some people live like that. And so now, but then what about now? What about now? Where I'm living. So let's make the best of it, okay? Let's include this now in the whole plan of things because it's already included, okay? And so when you include the, and I just got to stay there just one more minute because I'm feeling something in here. When you include the now in it, that's going to help you get out of the state of depression. Because sometimes we do like bears. We have seasons in our lives where we hibernate. Where we're in a cave, we're in a shell. We may be out and we may be on a job. We may be, you know, functioning in our family and everything. But it's like we are hibernating, just waiting. And sometimes because we get in that state, we can get in states of depression. We can get in depression and we can get in a state of hopelessness. It's just all types of things that can begin to happen to us that's not positive, that takes us further away from the place we're trying to get to. So that's why it's important to say, okay, my life plan is present oriented. It's now. So let's give yourself a hand for that, okay? How many of you kind of got that a little bit? Okay, all right, thank you. You know, my life, my clients, I'd be like, okay. Let's talk about some facts. Let's look at the facts. The facts is that 80% of people never set goals for themselves. 80%. That's a lot of people. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. 80% of people never set goals. And the goals that we're talking about a life plan, it starts now. And it's going to lead into our future. But can I just say this? It's not just survival. It's not just about survival. It's not just about, well, my life plan is to go to Golden Corral after I leave here and get something to eat. My life plan is to make enough money so I can pay these bills. So, okay, so now you're setting yourself up to be a mule, to be a workhorse. And sometimes that's all, that's the extent of our life plan. We got to tap into it. Remember, your life plan is going to be based upon something greater than you are. It's going to be based upon what? Your purpose, your destiny, your reason for being here. It's going to be based upon what? Your gifts and talents. Why do you have gifts that God has blessed you with, but you don't see them as valuable? Because you don't use them. And someone else wish they had that gift. God's blessed you to sing, but you never open your mouth. Okay, that's just one. And it's so when we're talking about our life plan, we want to tie it. We want to make sure that it is tied to our gifts and talents. But we need to set goals. Only 8% of people successfully achieve their New Year's resolutions. This is December the 30th. One more day. And there we go with all the, how many of you all have already started with your resolutions list? Oh yeah, you might not want to admit it. We call it other things. We call it goals. We call it prayer requests. You know, we call it different things, but we know what it means. This is the beginning of the year. I want to lose this amount of weight. I want to make this amount of money. Okay, you know, those things. And so, but only 8% of people successfully achieve their New Year's resolutions. Only 8. Because it's seen more, and I believe the reason is because it's seen more as a wish. It's not set into what this is the thing that we look at when we're talking about SMART goals. I'm sure many of you have heard about SMART goals. SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. SMART goals. So when we set SMART goals, then we have something that we can actually look at and something that we can measure throughout the period of time that we've given ourselves. And we don't just put them in a drawer. Make your life plan. Okay, I made my life plan. I got it. Oh, well, where is it? Oh, let me see. Oh, I knew it was in there somewhere. Well, what did you have on there? Oh, I don't know. I think I said I wanted to pray more. So whenever you really have those SMART goals, what you want to do is you want to put them up so you can see them. You want to be able to touch them, to read them, to see them, to memorize them, to know them in your sleep. And a life plan is an act of, everybody say, a life plan is an act of my will. Oh, come on. Say that one more time. A life plan is an act of my will. Okay, now give yourselves a hand for that. Now, the reason why that's important, why is that important? Because sometimes we come up with a life plan, but we leave it up to someone else for it to happen. Ooh. See, as a coach, I can coach you, but you're the one that has to do the work. And we can have a plan, but it could just be a piece of paper if you don't put it into action. So it's an act of your will. It's not my will. I want to see you. I want to see the greatness that's in you fulfilled. I want to see it revealed. I want to see you reach your highest potential in life. I want you to do everything that you were put here to do and even more than you think you can do. I want you to reach far beyond your greatest expectation because you can. That's what I desire for you. That's my will for you. But what is your will for you? Because it's an act of your will. And so many times you hear that and it's something connects with you on the inside that, yes, my life is greater than what I'm experiencing right now. I have potential for more. I have potential to do more. And you make that connection. But then something happens in the translation. I believe it for you. Do you believe it for you? Oh, well, she's just saying that because that's her job. See, that, no. See, that's how we, I just said that, that's how we sabotage ourselves. Oh, yeah, that's her job. And those people that know me, know that me being a life coach is just a part of who I am. Because I'm an encourager in my sleep. And I'm a positive person, and I always have seen and looked for the greatest and the best in people, even those that were strung out on drugs and, you know, in jail or walking the street and being able, and many of you all know I'm telling you the truth, and being able to look in their eyes and see the greatness that they are and that they just needed help to become. So I'm not just saying this and doing this, oh, that's my job, that's what I got to do. Because it's true. But see, you have to make that connection. A life plan is an act of your will. So let's set our wills. That's one thing about our wills. We can set our wills. Say, I set my will to plan, to act. Oh, come on, give yourselves a hand. I set my will. You can set your will. You know, I'm gonna tell you a story. I know this is true because I used to be late to work every day. I did. I used to be late, and some of you all know what I'm talking about because you're late, okay? And so I used to be late to work, and so I thought it was no big deal. You know, I said, oh, well, you know, que sera, sera, was kind of lax atmosphere, so I didn't think nobody cared, really. But then they started, you know, honing in on that. Like, oh, you know, like they were serious. Like, they really wanted me there at the time, early. I was like, wow. And so after I sat at a staff meeting, I made a little joke and everything about why I was late. And after I left there, I set my will. I said, okay, well, this is how this environment is. This is what needs to be done. So I set my will on the way home to be to work 10 minutes before time. I set my will, and I promise you from that day to this one, that's been at least 3 months ago, I have been there early and before the time. What's the difference? The only difference is I set my will. I purposely, intentionally set my will. I took the joking aside. I took the excuses aside. And I just set my will. I say, well, if this is the way it's supposed to be done, then this is how I'll do it. I set my will. You can set your will to do anything. You can set your will to lose weight. You can set your will to be on time. You can set your will. See, when you develop your life plan, you got to set your will that I'm going to do it. So the next week when all of this other stuff and we say all hell break loose, well, it's going to break loose, and it's supposed to break loose. Because let me tell you something else about a life plan. If it's a real life plan, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. And sometimes we fold like cards because we're challenged. And we say, oh, that must not have been God. Oh, because now I'm, and they doing this, and I'm going through, and ooh, no. I missed it. You see? Instead of realizing, oh, no, I know I'm on target because I know that this is why I'm being challenged. And let me tell you something about leadership. If you are a leader in any capacity, you're going to be challenged. That comes with the territory. So whenever you're challenged, you don't put your thumb in your mouth and run home to mommy. You stand your ground and you stand in your position. And you do whatever you're supposed to be doing at that time, okay? Because like one of my favorite people is Judge Million of the People's Court. And she loved to tell people to put your big girl panties or your big boy drawers on. You know, it's tight, but it's right. I guarantee you people that have fulfilled their dreams and destiny in life, like the Oprah Winfreys and the other people that we look at, I guarantee you they would tell you the same thing. I guarantee you they went through that and a lot more, but they continued to do some of the things that we're talking about here. Okay? So when I tell you the truth, I'm telling you in love, and I just want you to hold on to it, okay? Because I guarantee you, if you apply it, it will make a difference in your life, okay? Now just give yourselves a hand. Okay, facts of the life plan, facts of the life plan. It comes from the heart and not just the head. That's something that we want to definitely continue to remember. It comes from the heart. Everybody say, it comes from my heart. And not my head. It comes from my heart and not just my head. It comes from my heart and not just my head. Okay, we got that. It comes from your heart. It can be felt deep within. It's some things, if you think about it, it's some things that just won't leave you alone. It's some things that you've wanted to do years ago, and things may not have worked out. And so then you went on with your life and you start doing other stuff and you tried other things and sometimes other people, whatever. But that thing just is still be like, yeah, but it's something inside of you is just like crying out saying, this is what I want to do. This is what I desire. That is a part of your life plan. It won't leave you alone. It always comes back. It's like a reoccurring dream. How many dreamers do I have in here? Literally dreamers. You dream and you dream stuff. Yeah. It's like one of those dreams. And it might come in another form, but you know exactly what it's meaning. It's on the inside of you. So it can be felt deep within. And it's congruent with who you are, spirit, soul, and body. It's something that's a part of you. Your life plan is something that you don't have to think about, that you do so effortlessly that everybody think they can do it. That's a sign of a professional. You do it so well, and you don't even think about it. I mean, it's because it just comes out of your pores, and then people that's looking at you, they think, oh, yeah, I can do that, until they try. I had one of my good friends that owns a beauty academy. She was talking to her students one time, and she was telling them about, you know, how she was just born with that gift to just do hair. And she was saying, and I just do it. And she said, and people, you know, they look at it and they say, oh, yeah. And then they, you know, the students, they come up in there thinking they know more than she does. And they start trying to do people's hair. And they make a big old mess. And then they turn around and start asking questions then because they realize, oh, you know, it's something to that. Most people that do things well, they do it in such a way that everybody just, it looks so effortlessly that people think, oh, I can do that. That's nothing to that. That's a part of your life plan. Because truth is, there's a lot of people that cannot do that and wish they could, whatever that gift is. They wish they could, and they can't. So what is it? It can only be accomplished through partnerships. Everybody say partnerships. Between you and God and those destinies, those whose destinies are intertwined with yours. There are some people that you have to join up with. There are some people that you have to meet. There are some people that your life would not be complete if they didn't come into your life in some shape, form, or fashion for some season. May not be forever, it may be. But see, God sets it up that way. See, we cannot fulfill the thing that we're supposed to fulfill in our lives, our purpose, our destiny, unless we get with the people that are part of our journey. And sometimes the problem is you're with the wrong people. You're with a whole group of people that has nothing to do with your destiny. And you may have been birthed in their family, but they're still not a part of your destiny. And you're still trying to make it fit. You're trying to make it fit. You're trying to make it fit. It's a beautiful thing when it is and when it does fit that way. That's a beautiful thing. But it's not always that way. And so you try to make it work. And God is saying, well, no, there's other people. There's other folk, okay, that I have already equipped And it's sort of like, if you look at it as a puzzle, that's that other piece of the puzzle that you need to help you to succeed in the area that God desires for you to succeed. And those are the people, whenever it's like a, it clicks, it fits. And but then those are the relationships that are the difficult relationships, because those are the relationships where we know the enemy is desiring to just pull you away from. Okay? But see, when we realize that, then we don't feel bad when people we accept people when they come, and we don't feel bad when people go. We're open. Because sometimes we've been in relationships and we've been hurt. If you over five, you've been hurt. And so you can get to a place where I don't need no friends. I ain't looking for no friends. I don't want to connect with nobody. And I'm just going, you know. So then you close yourself to what you really need in order for you to be all that God's called you to be. Okay? And so the thing is, you just have to be open. But then you have to realize that when it's time to go, when it's time to let them go. Okay, now give God a hand clap of praise for that. Now, there are certain attributes of character. Everybody say character. That must be present. Attributes of character when you're talking about a life plan. Integrity. Integrity means to be whole. Integrity means to be whole. So you must have pure motives. What are your motives? See, there are some people that they look at people when they meet people. They look at them. They say, now, what can that person do for me? What can I get out of them? How can they help me? But then there are some people that look at people and they think, what can I do to help them? How can I add value to their lives? Okay? It's a perspective. And so if you're talking about a life plan, we got to get out of that me kind of selfish mentality where we see people as a means to your end. No, that is not the way. So we have integrity. And I'm going to tell you something about a life plan. You got to have courage. You got to be bold. A life plan is based upon love, because that's the greatest force in the world. And that should be your greatest motive, is to love. You got to have the openness of heart, like I said. And another thing about a life plan, you got to have flexibility. Even though we're coming up with a plan, even though we're moving forward with a plan, guess what? Sometimes the road to your destiny is not a straight line. And so a lot of times we do these plans, and our plans are linear. And we think, okay, we have this, and that's how we plan. But see, we know God is our partner. And if you know God long enough, you know that he's not going to take you like A, B, C, D, E. You can have 50 points, 500 points with 300 action steps included and strategies on top of it, outlining every detail. And your partner, God, will say, okay, that's all well and good, and we're going to get to your destination, but come on over here and come around here and take five steps back and go through this experience. And you'd be like, "What? That's not a part of the plan. No, we see, I'm supposed to be over there. I should be farther along in my life by now." We say that. But so that's why we got to have the flexibility to know that everything that happens in life, once you get on that focused journey, is a part of the life plan. And so when you're going, like, taking five steps back and it seems like, how am I going to get there? Then you have to begin to stop and say, okay, why am I here? What is it that I need to learn from this place? Because whatever's happening here is some type of gold nugget that I need that's going to help me to get there and help me when I get there. Because if I didn't go through this and if I didn't receive this, what I need to receive, then I couldn't make it to where I'm trying to go. Oh, come on, give God a hand clap of praise. So what does that do? That keeps you that gives you courage and that keeps you encouraged, infused with courage. Because you know that no matter what's happening, it's working together for my good. Oh, come on and give God praise. See, that is the key. And so therefore, we got to have perseverance. We got to have patience. We got to be tenacious. We can't give up, okay? And we got to have what? A sense of humor. Don't take yourself so seriously. Don't take this plan so seriously. Don't take others so seriously. Learn how to laugh and have a good time along the way. Because your life is meant to be enjoyed. Come on. This life plan stuff is not that we're going to have fun when I get there. No, I'm going to have fun on the trip. Oh, come on now. So you got to have a sense of humor. And you got to be able to laugh at yourself. That's why a lot of times I just say, well, yeah, I'll just go ahead and put it out there. I know I blunder. I make blunders. And I do. We all do. Amen. So I'd rather just go ahead and admit it so that I won't feel so bad when I do it, okay? And then I can laugh with you and you don't have to laugh at me, okay? All right, we're going to have a little break because remember I told you I'm going to have some of my clients to come and share a little bit about their life coaching experience. So I want to ask first Sean Van Zant to come up because he's the one that brought the idea to me and said, you know, why don't you allow some of us to come up and share? So, Sean, if you wouldn't mind coming in.
Testing. Okay, it's on. It's good. How y'all doing out there today? All right. Good. It's going to be a wonderful new year, especially if we live on this, if we really pay attention to our life plan and we develop a great life plan and we kind of memorize it, sort of like Dr. Tompkins was saying. And I want to talk a little bit, just a few minutes, about life coaching, what it means to me, what it's done for me. And it's really helped me out a lot. I approached a pastor friend of mine. He's a blogger, and he blogs on the internet, and I just told him about a few things that I struggle with, and structure and discipline and focus is mainly what I struggle with as far as like in life, just in practical life and stuff. And he told me, he says, why don't you just try out a life coach, you know? And so I was just thinking, well, that sounds like a possibility. Yeah, I'll try it out. And then I saw Dr. Rosalind over there by Fresh Market. There's a place called Eternal Grounds Coffee Shop. Yeah, and I saw that she was a life coach, so I decided I'd send her an email, and she said she'd be glad to do a consultation with me. And I've been going to her for a month now, and I already see a lot of difference in my life.
Yeah. Lots of difference. Yeah.
And it's not only do you have to have action once when you're, you know, receiving life coaching, you have to keep on persevering and taking continuous action, consistent persistence with it. And it brings results, it really does. And thanks for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you, Sean, for sharing. And Sean has made lots of progress, and I know that he's all his dreams and visions and hopes and plans will be fulfilled. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. So I want to call one more now, Minister Araneta.
Amen.
She is very special and near and dear to me, and it's just been such a wonderful journey. Her mother is Reverend Bernice Clausell, if you all know, and so it's just a delight.
God bless you.
You look pretty in pink.
Oh, sorry I'm late. I told I would be late. I'm glad I made it. I learned about this word life coaching by reading a book. It's been many years ago, a book called Thresholds and Passages. that's written by a friend of mine out of Wisconsin. Anyway, it mentioned about a life coach, and I just stopped dead in the sentence, life coach. And it became so interesting to me, and I began to think, wow, a life coach, maybe somebody to help you through life. You know, I just began to wonder on that. So I called my friend, and she went to a life coach before she wrote the book and shared some things with me. So all these years, I'm thinking, maybe this is what I need. So a few months ago, the Bible Institute offered a class in life coaching, and I took it. And so now I'm saying, well, I need to be coached, you know. And so one day, I'm reading a Tallahassee Democrat article written by Pastor Tompkins here. And at the bottom, among all the things that she is, it said life coach. And I'm saying, life coach? The person that I know and love all these years is a life coach? And so I just had to make it happen. I said, I'm coming to you in a different capacity now. I'm coming. And so coming to her and receiving coaching from her, I've sort of developed my own definition of what life coaching is, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to try to stick to what I wrote because I really could go on a while. It says, my own definition of life coaching is assisting a person to assess and define their current place in life while identifying, discovering, and developing bridges to activate their real life purpose. Did that sound like what she said today? And it's really a service provided to help one connect their present with their future. That's the way I see it. And it's focusing on yourself. So, you know, I've had a great life. You know, I love my life. But I do a lot for other people. And so somewhere in there I'm saying, I got some things I want to do for me. You know, but I don't really know how to get there. And so I'm thinking life coaching, you know, was what's going to help me. And sure enough, it's helping me to draw a roadmap, to look at the road. Sometimes you have to look where you came from in order to see, you know, to see how you got there, first of all, and how you're going to go further. So she's helped me to do that. You know, we've acknowledged some potholes and some dents in the road and turns and some roadblocks. And so we're designing a new map to help me reach my destination successfully. Now, after spending some time practicing the principles that she's taught me, you know, I begin to realize that the future is now. Okay? So we're beginning to connect, you know, the present and the future is now. I can walk in my purpose now. You know, it don't have to be then. It could be now. And in the words of her own book entitled, You Got to Have It, your it are those personal desires that are embedded within your DNA that reside deep within your heart. These are her words from her book, and that really hit me. Because there's things you're just born with these ideas, I believe, you know, and they come to fruition later. And all of us have these thoughts and dreams that maybe have been lying dormant because of roadblocks along the way. Some of these roadblocks could be low self-esteem, an addiction, a bad relationship, a huge disappointment, a financial loss, abuse, health challenges, fear, and just other things that bind us up in life. But God, through Dr. Rosalind Tompkins here, can help your it be activated so that you can become a more productive person, carrying out your purpose, which matches with God's will for your life. She's gotten me there. I've activated my it, and my present and my future are embracing at the threshold to cross over into the purpose that God ordained for me. Thank you, Dr. Rosalind.
All right. Wow, I should have known. Bless you. I should have known she was going to come out that way. But I'm telling you, so much growth. So much growth. Come on up here, Greg. You know I'm not letting you off the hook. I love my Greg. It's a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Araneta. Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Wow. Well, I got to start off with a compliment, because you know church is good when you're afraid you missed something to go to the bathroom, because just then I didn't want to get up. I wanted to hear. I was afraid I was missing something. But you know how you say you find people when you're not looking for people? I wasn't looking for a life coach. I had heard about it, but I met Dr. Tompkins through another venue, another business here in town. We just happened to start conversing, and one of the things that I find most striking about her, and it's an honor and privilege to be here with you today and to say these words, is that you know how there are some people who will be your stumbling block along the way and tell you can't? She would never say you can't. And it's not, like she said, it's not her job. It's a calling. You can see the spirit of God about her. And I could see that the first time I met her. I knew I loved this lady. And we weren't even talking about life coaching or anything like that. You know, I just knew. I was like, I love this lady. I absolutely love her. She's got something special, doesn't she, in there? And it comes out. Yeah, absolutely. I think that this whole thing today could have even, I know that all of us are benefiting from it, but just real briefly, I'm one of those people that I used to think that linear way. I thought that, you know, everything was going to work A, B, C, D, and if it didn't, then I must have been out of God's plan. Because I've always grown up in a good home where I was taught to believe in God and that we're all equal and that anything is attainable if you set your mind to it. But probably about 10 to 15 years ago, I lost my way through blows to self-esteem and all this sort of things that life gets you. I used to be a news anchor, actually, up in Albany, Georgia, and that was always my goal, or what's in my DNA, and I still want to do that. But, you know, things got tough, and I ran from it. I ran from my dream. And one of the things that we're working on is getting me back on track for those, and there are a lot of steps that I want to go through to get back to it. But I wanted to say that I really am enjoying the journey, and that Dr. Tompkins has really given me a lot in terms of, it's just, she's one of those people that I know that God wanted me to meet, because she's a tremendous blessing to me. I'm starting to work on my goals, and I can't wait to see her next time for life coaching, because I've started some positive steps just this week, and she's a big part of that. Absolutely. So I thank the Lord for her and love her very much, and thank all you for letting me be a part of this today, because this is a special church, and you've certainly got a special leader.
Wow, that is a blessing. Thank you so much. Wow, that is powerful. And thank you for sharing. And I'm going to tell you something. These guys, they are doing the work. They are doing the work. They are taking it, and they are consistent. You know, they come. They are consistent with it. You know, they pay their money, okay? You know what I'm saying? And it's based upon what you can afford. You know, I'm not one of those kind of people who say, oh, you got to just pay, you know. But I try to make sure that it's something that everybody can obtain if they desire it, okay? So thank you guys for sharing from my heart to yours, and for the other, some of my other clients as well, that we're going to get started again in January. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up from here and just kind of look at the rest of this, and hopefully it's helping. Is this giving you some ideas of the first one, the very first one on this end? Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Where do thoughts and words come from? This is a good, and I just wanted to put this in here about the brain, because if you're anyone that's learning about the brain and how it functions, it's so fascinating. It's so much research out there now. I mean, so many articles, is so much information that kind of that will help you just to understand how you operate, how you think, why you think the way you think. Some of this that we call spiritual is not spiritual at all. It's biological. It's biochemical. So a lot of times, you know, while we're casting out the devil and we're binding different things, when really we just need to get an understanding of how God created us to think, and why we think the way we think, and how this brain operates, and to begin to work on some things to develop new patterns. Because if we don't do that, we can come up with the best laid plans, and they're not going to come to pass. It's not going to come to fruition. So where do thoughts and words come from? The brain, Broca's errors, the frontal lobe. Cortex is where the reasoning, and that is our left brain. And then amygdala
is our right brain, and that's the feelings, and that all combines together to make up the head. And then that's just a simple version of it. It's so many different fascinating parts about how we think and how we're made. And I'm going to just say, I just got to put this out here because this really, really kind of trips a lot of people out when I share this about your brain and your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. And so a lot of times because we think we are our thoughts, we get tripped up in our thoughts. But your brain is bringing thoughts across your mind. That's the your brain functions in such a way, it's just like a machine or just like a computer, it's automatic. So you automatically have these thoughts and it processes it in ways of association. It makes association at the blink of a blink of an eye. Millisecond, it makes associations and thoughts come, and it has, you know, never forgets anything. It's like a file cabinet and pictures come up. And if we don't realize that we're not our thoughts, then sometimes we'll think we're crazy, or we'll think, oh, we just terrible. I'm gonna give you an example. You know, now most of us, you know, we're nice people, and you know, we want to think nice thoughts and, you know, do right by people. So sometimes you'll come up on someone, you'll meet someone for the first time, and then all of a sudden you hear the thought, you just fill in the blank. And then you'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm such a terrible person. Oh, I bind that thought. You know, oh no, I gotta repent, I gotta go pray the rosary or whatever. But when we realize, no, that's just your brain being your brain. Just like your heart is beating, it's going to beat. That's what it's designed to do. Your brain's going to make associations. And so, that you know, they come to thought and then, you know, it associates and it might say, ooh, ugly duckling. But see, this is where you, the real you comes in. That comes from here. You step back and become an observer. And that's when you make a choice whether you're going to receive that or whether you're going to go with that or not. So you step back as an observer, you hear that and you say, oh, nope, next. And then you allow the things that's in your heart, because out of your heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is the thing that where God lives. The heart is where your kindness and goodness, and it will overrule those thoughts. And if you just do it as just like a natural part of living and just being in this body, then you can take some of the judgment out. And if you take some of the judgment out, you can take some of the shoulds and shouldn'ts out. You take some of the shoulds and shouldn'ts out, you can relieve yourself from some of the condemnation that we're always under, judging whether good or bad, right or wrong, this and that. And some of it, it just is. Okay? Does that help anybody? So we have to somehow learn how to become that observer of ourselves. Heart, it comes from the heart, feelings and emotions. Now we need the brain, because we need that reasoning, and we need all that that's a part of it. But it needs to be a part of the whole of what we decide. Heart, feelings and emotions, where do thoughts come from? Other people. Some of you all be surprised how much other people are putting in your head wrong thoughts. Past experiences, you have a whole record, or we say a CD now, MP3, that's playing in your head from past experiences that tells you because of this, then this is why this is happening. And then your belief systems, and then also God. Now, one thing about it, we have to get rid of, and we have to learn how to get rid of limiting beliefs. We all have them. We all have limiting beliefs that's based upon all the things that we just talked about that will limit you and like she said, some obstacles and potholes that will keep you from reaching your full destiny and purpose in life. So where's the life plan? Life plan comes from your spirit within. Life plan connected to the life of God that is in you. Life plan comes from creative energy of the Holy Spirit. Life plan is connected to your purpose and your destiny. Life plan. Everybody say life plan. Life plan. I wish I had gotten this at the age of my granddaughter, Taylor, who is 4 years old. I wish I had begun to be exposed to this kind of thinking and teaching. It would have, hopefully, it would have made my life a lot better. But life plan, from the time you're born, in your DNA, part of who you are. Now, I want to ask a question, and anyone can answer this. But I want to try to get an idea of how you're processing what's being said and some of the information that's being shared and some of the things that's being imparted in your spirit. So if you could tell me what part of you you know that has been a part of your life and a part of your DNA, part of you since the time you were born. Is anybody connecting with that? Is anybody identifying with something? Okay, who wants to share? Okay, go ahead. Said something that's so key. Just because you may have be nervous about it or have a little anxiety about it or, you know, not be so sure of yourself, it doesn't mean that it's not a gift or a talent. That's just another part of your body being your body. You know, you experience the fear, do it anyway. And it's just a part of it. So then when it comes to your gifts and talents, then you can't allow your feelings to cause you not to operate in your gift. Say you have a gift to do something, like you said, speak, but then say you are shy. Well, I don't think that's it. I don't know.
I didn't say I was
shy. Yeah, but you get nervous a little bit nervous. Okay. So, but then that does not negate the fact that you are powerfully talented and gifted in that area. Okay. And so when you recognize that, and that's why I'm just inside, because when you recognize that, that's when you can maximize it. And the more you maximize it, then the more it's going to come where you don't feel as nervous, or even if you do, you're still going to do more. You're going to be looking for other ways, other opportunities. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you'll just be able to take off. And that is the key. Okay. All right. Janar, my daughter. Come on, another aha moment. Wow, this is powerful. Ooh. Janar's wanted to be a teacher since she was probably Taylor's age. She's always wanted, she said she wanted to be a teacher and she wanted to work with children. Okay, so yes, that's definitely a part of it. And so just like what our professor, Dr. Dawn Norwood said, okay, I know you don't like me to do that, but anyway, just like she's, okay, exactly, that's who you are, you earned it, yeah. Yeah, embrace it, another aha moment, wow. But just like she said, Janar, maximize where you are. It's obviously getting some, you know, getting you noticed. You don't know what'll end up happening, what doors will open. And as the doors begin to open, then the pathway, then you just walk through them, and then the pathway will become clearer and clearer as to what you can and cannot do. So that's what I'm hearing. When you get that aha about something, maximize it. Be the best at it. Even if you don't get an aha, that's what I had to do where I am. I say, well, you know what? Since I'm here, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be present here, and I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to set my will, and I'm going to, you know, and before you know it, I end up with a promotion and a raise and, you know, all kind of little things. You know, I went from the back to the front. So just by what? Embracing where, because where you are right now, don't always look for the grass greener on the other side. Because where you are is where you need to be right now. And if it's not, then ask and find out how you can move forward to where you need to go. Okay. All right. This is good. Wow. This is a life class. Life class that we're having. We can have one more and then we'll wrap up. One more? Yes.
Please.
Helping people. And you know what? And what I really love about that, what you said, what's your name?
Rhea.
Rhea. And that's your niece. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Okay, Rhea. All right. That's powerful. And what I really like, and this is what we can pull from that, is she said, helping people. It doesn't have to be that deep. It doesn't have to be that, you know, intricate. You don't have to have the name for it. You don't even have to know anything else about it. Because if you start out there, that's the DNA, helping people. She went somewhere, she realized, okay, that's not it. Okay? But she didn't get stuck there. Because sometimes we'll get stuck in certain places because that's the first place we step out into. And we say, oh, I want to help people, so I'm helping people. We try to make it fit, but it doesn't fit. So then she went to the next level, and she ended up getting into the spot where now her gifts and talents are being what? Utilized, appreciated, and she's been motivated to move on to the next level. So let's give a hand clap of praise for our dear sister. That's what it's all about, and we can learn from that. It doesn't have to, and which brings me to the next slide. Keep it simple, okay? Keep it simple. Sometimes we complicate things, and they don't have to be. Start with a simple, I just feel like I need to help people, or I just want to work with children, or I just, you know, and then everything else will begin to unfold if you stay true to that. Okay, think about where you are right now, and based upon what you desire to do as a part of your purpose and destiny in life, are you in a position where that part of you is being utilized? And if you're not, why? And if you're not, how can you? I guarantee you most of us are in a position, some way, shape, fashion, and form, especially those of us is over like 30. and some before if you're blessed that way are in a position, and you know what, look for it, because there's something about that place where you are that calls you there. That place called you there, and there's purpose and destiny there. Keep it open to be able to make adjustments. If this is not it and it's not working here, that doesn't mean I wasn't meant to help people. That just means I need to help somebody else. Make adjustment. Keep it united with the will of God. Don't get off track. You know, so many people say, well, I need to make money, so I'm going to sell these drugs. That is not the will of God, you know. If you did, the will of God is not to destroy people's lives for you to get rich. Okay, the will of God is not for you to step on people and treat people mean, or, you know, backbite people and you know, push people back so you can get ahead. The will of God is not for you to lie to people about products and things just so you can get them involved in stuff and get their money, and it's not true. Okay, so make sure, because, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I kind of stepped aside, and just for me, I'm just going to say me, for me, stepped aside from the network marketing industry, because you can really get pulled away. And, you know, you guys know I used to hang with Danny Glover, actor Danny Glover. He's been here a couple of times, you know, and there we were. And some of the companies I really believed in, and, you know, when I'm passionate about something, I'm passionate about it. And then we'd flip-flop to somewhere else. And then I'd have to try to, you know, get a belief in that. And we'd flip over here. And after a while, I was like, you know what? I love you, Mr. Glover. You always be Mr. But I have got to go. This is where I jump off the ship, because it's not part of my destiny and purpose to try to push and pedal some electricity or whatever that I don't even understand. And I'm trying to get everybody involved in it, because we're going to make millions. Well, you already got millions. That's why it's easy for you to flop, flop, flop. So keep it united with the will of God for your life, okay? Keep it filled with love. Keep it true to who you are. Be true to yourself. Keep it alive. You know, don't let it die. Some way, shape, fashion, and form it's meant to be. And keep it hidden. It's not for everybody. Don't be running around telling. Remember the story of Joseph? That's how he ended up in the ditch. Telling people. Some people, they jealous. They don't want to hear that. And they will try to sabotage you. Because they feel like you're going to get ahead of them. So you can't just be, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I've been called to. This is who I am. Before the time. Before it's time. By the time you step out there, let it be set. Where, you know, they can't, I mean, for some people. Now, God will put safe people in your life. Safe people that will embrace. And you can tell the difference. See the response when you tell somebody something about a dream you have. Listen to what they say. Is it positive or is it negative? Is it encouraging or is it I don't see that. Then that's when you be like, okay, next. I'll never tell you again. Life plan. I know you got to go. Bless you. Okay, see you this week. Hey, email me and get the presentation.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think we're on here. We're almost done. Yep. We're on the place where we're looking at keys to unlock your life plan. Keys to unlock your life plan. Know your God. Know yourself. And these are you never know everything about God. And you never know everything about yourself. So you should be a lifelong learner. And you should always be teachable, coachable, and trainable. Listen intently. You'd be surprised how much you can learn just by listening. This is going to unlock your life plan. Increase your faith because it's going to take faith. And even pray for the gift of faith. And then relax. Don't be tense about it. Don't be worried about it. Because it's in a relaxed position that you're going to really be able to hear. It's in from that relaxed position that you're really going to be able to walk into it. Be present. We talked about that. Not so much please don't live in the past and don't be so future-oriented until you're not able to receive what's happening. Be authentic. Be real. Don't put on a mask. You know, some people say fake it till you make it. You know, and sometimes that works, but it doesn't last. It works, but it doesn't last. And the reason why I say it works, I remember when I got my first job years ago as an intervention specialist, and I really didn't know much about it. And I started off working for a nonprofit agency, and I was helping women to get off drugs. And I was nervous because there was a lot of things that came with it. And I didn't know a lot at that time because it was not a lot of information out there. So the supervisors at that time told me, they said, well, Rosalind, you don't know a lot, but just fake it till you make it. Just go ahead and step out there. So I said, oh, okay. And I did. And you know why it worked? It worked because when I stepped out there, I started going to trainings all over the nation. I was in Chicago, and I was down in South Florida and Central Florida. And I was all over the globe going to trainings to learn about what this whole thing was, this addiction and, you know, and treatment and you know, everything. So you can fake it, but get the information so you can really make it, because it's going to come a point in time.